Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening. Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host, Han Tran. Good evening, Han. How are you?
Marvelous, Jim. Good evening, everyone. Jim, would you like a weather report?
Go ahead, because we only have, 7 days till spring. Today was sunny and 45 in northwestern Ohio, and it was like, oh my, we are finally over the hump.
I was talking to a product rep from Ohio, and she said that their temperature is going to be in the 70s, so that's great. It's nighttime now, but today was terrific weather, sunny, slightly cool, in the low 70s. And that's why there's a lot of folks that come down to Florida around this time of year. The population of the state literally double around this time of year.
Spring break, right?
That is right. You know, we spent more time, planning more time for travel time than usual, but the state depends on a big chunk of its economy depends on tourism, so they're all welcome. This is the wave of vacationer and spring break. But before that, before the snowfall up there, you have what they kindly call snowbirds. Okay, so but anyway, it's good to have everyone down here, and so far, everybody's behaving themselves as far as I'm aware of. Okay.
There we go. Well, excellent. Well, tonight's show is we've got a very interesting situation. We've got a husband and wife dental team that we have been working with for a little while, and they are just in the beginning of the process. So tonight's show is episode number 24. Can you believe that? 24 shows, Han. At the beginning,
yeah.
Starting the Journey is the title. And our two guests are going to be joining us here in a few minutes, one from one location and one from another location. But basically, they're at the beginning of the process. Now, we've talked up to this point in a lot of our episode things that you should expect with your team members. You know, go back and listen to all those episodes and podcasts. You can get those if you go to our website, www.hjtdesign.com, or log on to Blog Talk Radio, and you can get them from there as well. We're a call-in show, so if you'd like to call in and ask a question of anyone, myself or Han or our two guests, you can do that on 657-383-1442. But our team today is going to be very unique because we've never really covered this subject. They're right at the beginning, if I understand correctly, of starting the construction. I believe it may have already even just started. Is that correct, Han?
They are in their starting the second week of the construction.
They've just really begun. Yes.
Yes. The spaces have never been occupied, so it's a brand new building, so the contractor had went in and started to cut the slab for the underground utilities. It's within the next week or so, if not already, they're going to put in the plumbing and all that stuff and start to erect walls. So they have approximately, because it's the interior build-out, the construction duration is usually about 3 months, give or take. And I think this is going to take, the experience level of the contractor matters. And I think the completion time will be sooner than 3 months. So that would be a good thing. They seem
well,
to be ahead of schedule right now.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing to hear. And obviously, good planning is how you get that accomplished. But this facility is rather unique in that it's not a typical retail center. This is actually a business center that's located in, is that Hadley, Massachusetts? Is that correct, Han?
Yep, Hadley, Massachusetts. Yep. It's a small, privately owned business development. The relationship and all that stuff between our clients and the owner are more personal at a personal level. So every project, every situation has their uniqueness. We had in a previous episode, we had interviewed a solo practitioner, also a pediatric dentist. She came on board with us. We provide a full service contract package from start to finish, and walk through the entire process with her. So she came on to share her experience. In this case, this is a husband and team starting out on a startup. And from time to time, I see questions about, talking to a friend of mine going to join me. We're going to start a practice, or a husband, or a male dentist starting a practice, and the spouse is in school finishing up, and they're going to join the practice and stuff like that. So the episodes, and when we have guests like this, it could be, we try to bring them on that they can offer some uniqueness about their situation that may apply to others who are also in the same similar situation or questioning or thinking about that type, similar arrangement for a practice with partnership and so on. Okay. So it's
excellent.
It'll be interesting. Okay.
They're very excited. And correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe you can describe how we first connected with Doctor. It's Noel and
Cyrus.
Yes.
Cyrus.
How did we first connect with them?
I saw posting of questions that Cyrus have on Downtown. And he seems to be very, have a lot of questions pertaining to how to start a practice and things like that. Of course, you don't just wake up one morning and say, I'm going to start a dental practice. Okay. Research, there's just a ton of things that you have to do. Now besides securing money, securing location, you have to pretty much make sure that you are ready mentally, and clinically to take on starting a practice and be able to perform and run a business. Cyrus was asking a lot of questions and things like that. So he came onto the radar. Our conversations, our exposure is usually rather limited to our potential client. But anyway, he reached out and say, can we talk? He went onto our website and signed on, to have a consultation. Maybe one morning, and I just happened to have a few minutes, so I reached out to them and start the conversation and answer their questions. We spent roughly about an hour answering every question they have. We normally don't commit our client or our those who reach out to us to any kind of contract or any promises or anything like that. They have questions that we want to help them to get the answer they need and let them do their research and stuff like that. Hopefully it helped them to make the decision that they're most comfortable with. to help them with their project, whether to go with us or to go with somebody else. It's not, you know, we like them to go with us, but if they decide to go with somebody else, we want, you know, we like to see that we have some contribution in that process so that they feel comfortable about making the next step forward. So we, you know, I myself have spent roughly about 2 hours on two different occasions, you know, total about 2 hours on two different occasions to answer serious questions. And they decided, you know, after they shop around and stuff like that, they decided to come to us and talk about using our service. So, you know, our client come from all over the place. In this particular case, they already, you know, Sirius have already are on Dentaltown, and you know, he can read a lot of the input that we provide on critiques that other have posed, and he feel comfortable enough to work with us. I'm glad that he did. So the rest is history in the making.
Well, yeah, it's true because we're not finished yet, but we're definitely on the way. Now, so once you, like we talked before in our other podcasts about the process, so once they felt comfortable, they wanted to move forward, you did the design work for them based around the information that you got from the business center as to the existing space and what was available, and then you created the design work. You know, just in a little bit of time, how did that go, and could you, you know, describe a little bit about what was accomplished?
Yeah, typically what they have is a 2,200 square feet space, and you know, they gave us a shopping list of what they like, what the, you know, and things like that. One of the big one for a startup practice, one of the biggest hurdles that they have to jump or to secure is budget, you know, finance. All of our clients like to have the nicest stuff for the money, because our, you know, the process that we normally deal ideal for us is to design their facility for them, to help them bid the project, secure the contractor, and then provide the administrative service, you know, construction administration services, and then finish it through. So we start from the start, beginning to the end. That doesn't always work for some of our clients. In this particular case, they only had so much resource, and they decided to hire us to do the design work, the preliminary design work, and they negotiate the contract with the local contractor. A lot of the dental practices and offices in their area, so they have a good construction team that know what they're doing. So that came on board with them. The contractor is a little bit more, you know, more money than they, you know, they like, but you know, you get what you pay for. So we didn't go through a true typical bidding process. We didn't, you know, so there was no negotiation on our part. They did most of this. Their leasing and stuff like that is somewhat the same. So this, the other activities involving securing the, you know, the location and stuff like that, they did it on their own. You know, others may not do that. But they felt they're comfortable enough, and they know this. They know the landlord personally, so all that is work out between them. Right or wrong, it's not, you know, we are not asked to look into to dissect it. They have attorneys to look over and make sure that, you know, their interest is protected. They're happy, but for us, we did the preliminary design. We look at, you know, check out the code, the local code requirements, the building code requirement, and lay out in a way that they give them, you know, the clinical space they require, the administration that they required, staff space that required, meet all of the code requirement, and they, you know, they were ecstatic of what was done. The contractor gave it to the local architect. There was absolutely nothing that the local architect had to do to the drawing except put in the notations and seal the drawings. Now, the architect had to do his own pieces and parts, and, you know, adding the notations and stuff like that pertain to what the local jurisdiction would require, you know, the basically the details that we would actually put on, you know, once we move beyond the preliminary design, okay? And they were able to, you know, get the permit within the week, and which they were quite surprised, and construction got started. So right now everything is like, you know, green light, everything.
There we go. Well, it looks like we have one of our doctors have called in. Let me get him on, get them on the line. Good evening. You've got Jim Jarvis and Han Tran. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, you're speaking to Dr. Noel Nubani.
Hello. How are you?
You all good?
I'm doing well.
Good evening.
Thank you. How are you?
We are fantastic and excited to have you on with us this evening.
Also, we have, I believe it's your husband has just called in. Let me connect him as well. Hello, welcome to the show.
Good.
We are
good
both.
Evening, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Staying busy, trying to, you know, every day is something else, but overall, happy.
Great. I didn't get any new update on the progress, but you're on here, so we have plenty of time to kind of pick your brain. Okay.
Well, I've already asked Han to give our listeners a little summary of you know, how we connected, what we've done for you to date, and how things, or at least it, as we know it in the process. So, I guess one of the things we'd like our listeners to get a better understanding is, can you each tell a little bit about yourselves and, you know, your specialty and how you see this team working in your new facility?
I have been practicing in private practice for about 4 years now. I graduated from dental school in 2014 from Boston University, and I'm a general dentist, so I do a wide range of procedures, and met my husband coincidentally in practice, which Han has been very involved with, luckily for us. And I'll have Cyrus talk a little bit about himself and his background.
So, I met Noelle pretty much the night after I took the DAT, and we met kind of, she was a couple years ahead of me in dental school. So, you know, things ended up working out, and then I've been working with kids my whole life. So I, you know, pursued pediatric dentistry, and I'm coming up on finishing my residency in 4 months now. And it's something that Noelle and I have been, you know, talking about how to go forward. We love to kind of build something together, and so a lot of what's happened, I guess we can talk about in a little more detail, but it wasn't necessarily the most planned out for us to do a startup. I think we were assuming that we would purchase a practice. But that's not what happened. And so right now we're in our second week of construction.
As far as you're concerned, you are ahead of schedule, right?
Yes,
I mean,
we are
ahead
of schedule. I think compared to what we had anticipated initially, we didn't think that we would be starting construction so soon. So I think the one takeaway message from this is, if you have a good, it's funny, but if your initial design is well thought out, which I believe ours definitely was, Han did a great job with it, but it helps speed up the process. And there are other factors, like, you know, obviously the town you're planning to do your startup, things like this all have their elements and variables. But I think having the design we had that was beautifully done really, really helped. There was less ambiguity. And so when we presented it to the town, it went through much faster than we had anticipated. So, we broke ground just last week. That was really exciting to see.
What is the anticipated date for completion initially?
It's going to be more like July, and initially we didn't think it was going to be until like September and late September, just to give everyone an idea of how fast the process had actually moved along for us.
Let me see. This is March. So July would be basically a 4-month construction duration.
Yes.
Right. Okay. At this time, hopefully, they should be on time. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we're already ahead of schedule. So that's a good sign to start out with. Okay.
I actually just got off the phone with the landlord. He just called me, and I think another part of the reason why this project moved along so quickly, I have a couple other friends doing startups, is that the landlord, he's just a huge supporter of this project, and he really, from the beginning, just wanted to get it going. And he had built a new building; it had been empty. He was looking to make the building. He wanted a more professional building, or it has a number of different suites, and he wanted, you know, he wants doctors, more professional services in his plaza. And so when we
he's not looking to fill his commercial development with restaurants and taverns and things like that. That's a great thing.
Okay. Yeah, and I mean, this was another issue that Han had brought up, which I'm still very nervous about, and we know, but at least we know this is going to be an issue for us. It was parking, but the way he's designed the plaza also is not, it wouldn't support parking for a busy restaurant. But, you know, as you said, things can only, unless it's in writing, you don't know exactly what's going to happen. But at least, for example, the landlord for us, and I just read an article on this, he put in language in the lease that no other dental services can open up in any of the other suites in the plaza. So that at least we have a monopoly on that plaza, or per se,
yeah,
or whatever.
That,
no,
that non-compete is very important. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Which I was just reading
very
an
great
article about it, and I was thinking, thank God. And we did work with a dental lawyer as well. I think our lawyer and his lawyer were able to talk back and forth freely, and that also speeded up the process, and there weren't many surprises that came up in the lease negotiation.
Now,
would you, doctors, would you say that the pre-selecting the general contractor was also a factor in this being a very smooth project to date?
I think you definitely want to, and this is something we had so much guidance on. I just want to say, because I think we say this to Han all the time, but he really did help give so much advice in the process. But going back to your question about the general contractors, I think it makes a huge difference if you're working with somebody who's worked on a number of dental offices and projects. Just to give some insight, we had two, and you know, you'll hear this, you generally go for a bid, and you'd like to have three general contractors. In our case, we only had two, and it was because of the area we were working in. One has, who we are currently working with, who I'm very pleased to be working with, Schweitzer Contractors. They have done many dental offices where the opposing, the other bid was coming from a general contractor who had done some dental, but not as much. And I think that just them knowing the process made a huge difference. It probably even, I would like to say, I don't know if Cetus would agree, but it helped move the building permit along as well, because they know, they presented dental offices and that kind of project to a town before. They have an idea and an anticipation in what they're looking for. So definitely so far, I would say it's made a huge difference in how easy the process has gone. We'll see in the foreseeable future. There's still 4 months of construction. So I hope I'm saying the same thing then that I am now. But I can only speak for the present time. And I definitely do think that pre-selecting the contractors and doing your homework, making sure that they have worked with dental offices, makes a huge difference. It makes it a lot less stressful for the owners. For sure.
Yeah, it saves you at least a few strands of gray hair, right?
Mm-hmm.
I here's a plug for them. I spoke with them the middle of last week, just to check to see how things go and they need anything and check on the status of the permit process. And that's when they told me that they just got the permit and they're gonna start on Monday. Last Monday, and they mentioned about the underground, cutting the slab of the underground and all that, because typically nowadays the trend is that we use bottled water for the chair, and they say that is the trend, but they're going to go ahead and put the plumbing for the water to the chair anyway, so that way if you ever want to use it, you can. Okay. I don't know whether that was, I'm assuming they include that into their bid, which we weren't aware of, but at least that they think in such a progressive manner that they certainly bring more value to the table than the contractor that simply do the minimal for the, for the most bucks, okay? And like everybody in the service industry, being referred and recommended is something they look for. So this is a plug for them. I hope that they can hear it and stick to the project and the schedule and give you the best that they can. That way you can break them up more. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we thought you
actually we had another the landlord who we actually are pretty close with went just stopped by the building today, kind of unannounced, and our contractor, it's a husband and wife, and then the children are working for them as well. They were all there, the whole group of them, and the plumbing inspector from the town was there. All the plumbing is already done. The slab was cut last week. The trenches dug. The plumber put everything in. And this part of the project, the inspector approved it, said everything's okay. So, now they're moving on to the next thing. But it was just good to have the landlord call me and say, hey, today, it was a good day. This part of the project is done. You're moving on to the next thing.
So he's checking in on your project on your behalf, on his behalf, but on your behalf. Okay, that's a good thing. Okay. Well, since you didn't really look into acquiring an existing practice, so this is a pure startup because you basically that's your only choice. Okay, but can you share with us, some of the things that you've done to prepare yourself to, to move forward with, starting your own practice?
So what's actually interesting is we did a lot of homework. We initially thought we were going to acquire practice, see Ruth, it was anticipation of him graduating, and I'd been practicing for so long. In my mind, I thought, I think what would suit me the best would be acquiring a practice. So we had actually done a lot of research in acquisition. But ironically enough, I think that actually helped to prepare us for a startup, because what essentially had happened is for three years, we were looking for practices. We'd come across some practice, look into it, and I'll just explain what essentially brought us to the startup was you realize that as years go on and you become more knowledgeable in what it is that you should be looking for in a practice, the harder it becomes to acquire a practice, because then you have a clearer vision in what you want, and it's hard to find your vision in an existing practice. Numbers don't quite match up right. The office size might not be the right office size. Systems in place might not be the way you want it. And so we were running into that problem, and eventually Ruth and I decided, we really want to be in this area. And I think to anybody looking to do a startup, and same with practice acquisition, the most important thing is to ask yourself where you would like to be. And then obviously the next thing is to study the demographics. Now, these beginning steps in selecting an area with a startup or an acquisition actually are very similar. You want to do your homework. You want to make sure that you're practicing in an area that has a need and that it's also somewhere you would like to be. And I think that's how Ruth and I pretty much isolated, okay, we want to be here in this area, which was Western Massachusetts. And so those initial steps were actually, it just happened to align with a startup. But when we found that we weren't finding the practice we wanted, we decided that we were going to do a startup. And a lot of that came from listening to podcasts. And this is Ruth. I should really have him speak more on this in regards to this. But we listened to a lot of podcasts, did a lot of reading, and it helped give us an idea of what the steps were in pursuing a startup. Unfortunately, some of it you don't realize until you're in the thick of it. But I think more or less, I don't know, Ruth, if you want to add to that, but I can just add
on top of that too, even if you take a step before, when Noelle, it was always the idea, since Noelle had so much more experience than me when I was in dental school and I really wanted to do pediatrics but wasn't sure if I was going to match. I kind of have more anxiety than others, kind of looking into what you need to do a startup. Noelle went to Boston University. I actually went to UConn for dental school. So we've had to finance dental school ourselves. So you can only imagine how much student debt we have. And so we kind of went to some practice management lunch and learns, and they have Bank of America, whatever, people come. And we spoke with them a little bit, or I did, and then I actually spent a lot of time on Dental Town. I found a dental-specific CPA, and I'd say maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we talked to him first. He's been doing our taxes for years now, in saying this is what we want to do to acquire a practice. you know, this is our income per year, which was more mainly Noel's income at the time. So he said, well, this is what you should do with your money then, which is essentially put all your loans into repay or an income-based repayment and try to save up as much capital as you can. You know, I don't know, only time will tell if this was good advice or bad advice, but it achieved the goal that we wanted to do, to we achieved the goal of making this startup happen, which is securing financing. Without financing, you would never be able to do this project. So getting financing, when the bank saw the capital that we had saved up, as well as Noel's work history, it was the
and
loan was approved
other
very
outstanding
quickly.
I think that
right.
Is,
is your loan process pretty smooth? And it take, you know, did it take how much time did that acquire? Because everything, every process chewed up the time that you thought should take much more than you thought. So the process of getting finance and stuff like that, could you share approximately how long? It sounds like you've been, you know, doing the research and reading and preparing yourself for almost 3 years before you come to this point.
Yeah,
I think
roughly feel like
just kind of saving, but saving up, knowing that we'd want to do this.
Noel
will speak on that.
No, I was going to say, I think what he's asking specifically is how long it went from requesting the loan to being approved for the loan did it take?
Mm-hmm.
And it actually
yeah.
happened pretty quickly. I want to say a month or just shy of a month. I think once you have everything in, and anyone listening to this who is interested in a startup, you know, like Siru said, it's saving capital. They want to see that you have the ability to save. But it's also making sure you have no outstanding debt, because the way school debt and government loans are viewed is very different than personal debt. So just to put that out there. And I think because everything was in order, it really went very quickly, a matter of a few weeks. And obviously it depends on, and you can look online to find what the top 20 banks are for lending. And dentists, and this is another thing, you want to make sure you're working with a bank that works with dentists, because the way you are financed is very different. You need a bank that understands what a dental student will walk out with as far as loans and has a history of lending to dentists. You'll find that they'll lend you more and at a more forgiving rate, I would say, and forgiving terms. So, to anyone who's interested, we specifically chose to work with Bank of America. And there are definitely pluses and minuses. I think Bank of America, for the most part, actually has a history of lending the most amount. But there are you know, things to it that might make it not as favorable as another bank, but for the most part has been very easy to work with. So not very long at all.
Yeah, I think on our end, in terms of that exact time frame, once you get approved, then they require you to submit, you know, 10 documents or 20 documents, and it's how quickly you can get those documents together.
Yeah.
So we were kind of held up because Noel was working in Connecticut but needed to get a license in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Because they won't lend you, they won't actually disperse the money until the license. So the license held things up a couple of weeks. And we heard, and another way to do it, because I think working with Bank of America has been good, but it is a large company. I kind of like working with smaller groups. But if you want to go to local banks, especially where we're looking to open, you kind of have to have your approval from one of these big banks and then go and show the big bank, go show the local bank, hey, we're doing a dental office. This is what, you know, this is how loans for dental offices are done. Can you beat this rate? But since we had already found everything and the landlord wants us to sign and our lawyer is telling us this lease is in your favor, you should sign, you know, we just decided, okay, let's just, you know, and we're going to, let's just stop shopping around and just go with this bank, and, you know, maybe we're going to lose out on a couple points on the interest rate. So, but we just didn't have the time really to go and shop around, because that, it's not, you know, it's it takes time to get, they really have to look into everything individually. So you can't just go up to a bank, obviously, and say, you know, what's my rate going to be?
Yeah, and you don't want to overanalyze. You can get stuck in the weeds trying to overanalyze things, and at the same time, hold you back. And by holding yourself back, you actually cost yourself a lot of money. Well,
exactly.
I have a question when it talks about, you know, you're talking about this being a startup. What is your vision for 5 years from now and 10 years from now?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think based on what we've been reading, you know, the vision is really the most important thing. And I've never was fully bought into marketing and, you know, the vision and your mission and your goals. But now I really do believe in this. And so we have a vision. We want to provide high quality service. We don't want to be rushing around. We don't want to be, you know, not having enough time with our patients so that we can't provide the level of care we want and be proud of our work and, you know, working 10 times harder to maybe make more money, but seeing 10 times more patients. So I think the vision has to line up with what kind of insurances you're going to accept and where you're going to position yourself in terms of that spectrum. We would like it to be a pediatric and adult office. So the way we kind of presented this to Han as well, and this is why we definitely didn't want a dental supplier designing our practice, because we really did have a vision, which is how can we balance an office that's going to be comfortable for adults and also have a pediatric component, a heavy pediatric component to it. So in terms of that, Han did a really good job of, we've separated, we have a hygiene bay, and it's actually towards the back of the practice where the adult offices are towards the adult operatories are towards the front of the practice. When you enter, it's an adult waiting room, but there's a separate area for the kids section. And then, you know, the larger image, a vision is to grow into our space and increase our equipment, our technology. We would love to have a cone beam. I would love to add some orthodontics, whether I'm doing interceptive or learning more phase two, or I have a couple friends who are graduating from ortho residencies, maybe adding them. And in the way we designed it with the hygiene bay, it could also be an ortho bay. So there's that component. So kind of a component where once the pediatric patients reach a certain age, it can be graduated to the adult side of the practice. And I think if you're doing pediatric in general, you do need to, you know, be very mindful of noise and things like that. And then the final thing on vision is, in the beginning, we were really looking at, you know, let's do a breakaway model, bare bones. Let's really save $200,000 on building this practice. But as things went on and we looked into things a little more, we've kind of made it fit our model. I think we're definitely investing more into our office than what you would be investing in a so-called breakaway model. So, you know, we want to provide a higher level of service, and I think if you want to do that, you probably might consider having, you know, a certain level of I don't want to say luxury, but equipment that represents that vision.
Now, you're starting out your practice. I think we talked a little bit about your long-term visions and things that you are in the work right now, is that as you grow, it's going to be basically more pediatric than pediatric and adult. right?
So that is true just based on the demographics. When we look at
okay.
demographics, there's the competition. Yeah, there's much more need for pediatrics. So just by simple math, we figure, if we're doing the same amount of marketing on both sides, we're going to get much more patients on this side.
So besides thanks for sharing your vision, Sam, and the financing part. Tell me, what is special about the location? Because we all, you hear this talk all the time. It's about location, location, location. Could you share
mm-hmm.
about what makes this location special for you?
I think that for us, what makes the location so special is first, you want to ask yourself, in this area specifically, it's somewhere where Steve Roos has history. So just to begin from the very beginning, he spent, his toddler years in the area, went to university there. So he has a little bit of a network, which is always nice, right? So it wasn't completely randomized, that selection. But then, of course, we thought, okay, this area would be a place where we're happy to live. Do the numbers support that? So when we say that and we're looking at demographics, we looked at everything from, the general dentist to population ratio, pediatric dentist to population ratio, what the median income was, average age, what the population growth was. You want to know, is it a growing population? Is it stagnant? Is it dying? Because you have to look at the longevity of your practice. And it also gives you an idea of, if you wanted to start a office that was mostly Medicaid, then, the median income isn't so important. But if you're trying to, accept for somebody, for example, which is not Steve Roos and I, but somebody who wants a fee-for-service office, the median income becomes very important. So the numbers are something that you want to look into, which is, of the location. So that's the second component. But also where it is. For us, this office had all those things. The numbers looked pretty good. Numbers where Steve Roos and I were very happy with. And it's off of a very busy route. It's off of Route 9. So it gets a lot of traffic. There's lots of cars passing by, and it gets a lot of visibility. Visibility, I think, is huge. And I just say this as somebody who goes to the doctors and is awful with directions and gets flustered. It's nice to be able to see the sign of where you're passing and is something that's easily accessible. It's more encouraging for patients and people to come by, and it's also free marketing. Every time a car passes by and they see your sign, if you are able to have the visibility in that location, then they're just aware there are that many more people aware of where you are. And if it's a busy road, then you've just added however many cars are passing in the day seeing it. So location is incredibly important. And it's not to say that, people have different needs and desires. Some people can't stand the idea of living somewhere rural, so they want to live in a city. Even then, it's not to speak in such general terms. You can find a location within a city that could be more favorable than another. There are just lots of components and facets to it when you're studying it. And I think that, so to anybody who's looking at starting something up, especially for a startup, the same is true for an acquisition, but where you set up shop is going to determine how easy it is for that office to grow and how quickly the growth will happen.
The final thing on that point is obviously was the price per square foot. And the unit that we were looking at, not only did it have the best visibility, but it was priced much more competitively. When we're talking, $10 a square foot less than just the plaza two units down. So a quarter mile down the street, we're looking at, about Yeah, I want to say like 30% less on a 10-year loan. So, you know, this is a, this is a massive amount of money over 10 years. So, you know, I think that's, you know, that's what made it such a no-brainer for us is, well, not only is this to have the best visibility, the best everything, but it's the cheapest. And so that didn't really make sense that it was available. And we also got a really good deal on it because of my network in the area. I just so happened to know the landlord. We didn't even know when the first day we went and looked at it, he wasn't even there. But then I called my aunt who lives in this town, and she said, oh, you know, that's your friend who owns this building. And so he got all excited and gave us a deal. And, you know, there are pluses and minuses with working with people you know, especially if they're going to be your landlord. But so I think
we're laughing with you.
Yeah, I mean, and Han, you know, and one other thing that was huge, and not everything's going to be perfect, is parking. Parking was not ideal. Parking is going to be, once we're at full capacity, we know parking is going to be a little bit of an issue for us. But the plaza does have 45, I think, parking spots. And the other major unit next to us just rented out, and it's going to be an optometrist. So thank God it's not a restaurant, right? Which we've been told by him it's not going to be a restaurant, don't worry. But, you know, an optometrist, it's not going to be that busy. He's not a very high-volume kind of business. And, you know, but then what we did is we knew parking was an issue, but we knew this is really the area we wanted to be in. So we looked at what else was available and counted, literally just went on Google Maps, counting parking spots, and everything was roughly the same. So if there was another area unit that could have offered us much more parking than that was available and a good price, then maybe we would have considered it, but that it just wasn't on the market. And this was, you know, for us, right now was the time that we were going to do this.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the – go ahead, Sue.
Yeah, and I mean, the final thing is we would love to buy land and build it ourselves from the beginning, but with our student debt and how early we are in our careers, that's, you know, that just was kind of – it's unfortunate, but it was out of the question.
That's year 11.
Exactly. That is year 11, and we have mentioned to the landlord, listen, we want to buy this, you know, who knows what's going to happen, but yeah, ultimately we would love to, because it's just such a shame when we're building this, how much money we're pouring into this guy's building. It's frustrating.
you have a 10-year...
Yeah, speaking of pouring money into the building, how... you know, since this is a startup, you've already mentioned that you didn't feel comfortable letting a equipment supplier design your space. How did you guys look at and have the discussions about cabinetry and equipment? Because, this, you know, within relationship to this being a startup and a lease.
Yeah,
with the suppliers.
I think he's saying the suppliers. I think so. The thing is, with what we did was we had listened to enough podcasts. Really, we live in such a great day and age because other people's experiences are so easily documented, and to be able to be fortunate enough to listen to it and learn from it is amazing. So from the very beginning, Ruth was like, we are not using a supplier's design. And he had, you know, he had come across Han, and he's like, I think that this is the person we should go with. And so we had already sought out to do that. I think what a lot of people end up doing is they look for a supplier. For some reason, that's the first step most people take, as opposed to looking for somebody to design, right? So, and the supplier, whether it's Henry Schein or Patterson, will say, okay, we're going to give you a design. And usually what they'll say is they'll say, instead of paying for the design, every square foot will work towards X dollars in your credit for supplies. And that's how they kind of get you. Well, because we had worked the opposite way around and we already had a design, we
I think the most important thing is to know what you are doing. And you can, Han will tell you, we didn't know what we were doing perfectly, but we had an idea at the very least. So we then looked and shopped around with suppliers and said, like, okay, we have our design. We want a basic equipment list. And I think when you approach it that way and you don't have it so open-ended, you're giving the direction instead of being directed. And that's where I think you get that's what makes the biggest difference. So because of presenting it that way and saying, you know, this is what we need. We're doing this for cabinets. We're doing what we really need is just supplies. You're kind of directing things, and so it goes a lot smoother. I mean, between having the outline, we had the outline, the preliminary drawings. We provided that to Henry Schein and to a few other suppliers. And we had already spoken to the contractors and had an idea of what we wanted to do with the cabinets and the cabinetry. So it made communication a lot easier, and there was a lot more direction with it as well. So I think, you know, having an order and a sequence that you approach things in a way that makes sense will help guide conversation, and it'll be a lot clearer for both parties. What is needed and what needs to be delivered, I think, becomes more clear.
That's an excellent approach, and for cabinets, which is obviously a huge part of dental offices, and you know, one of the breakaway model, which I actually I'm trying my best to save costs here and there. They talk about, and it's all over Dental Town, you know, how much money is cabinets, and it can really run up. Well, working with Han, he suggested I reach out to Boyd. They actually manufacture custom cabinets. They offer doctor pricing, cutting out the equipment supplier, and they're giving you a 10% discount. And so they came up with a decent quote that were reasonable. And then by working with a dental specific contractor, and we're just kind of lucky that in this area where we're at, there's actually a dental specific custom cabinet maker who has his own factory, and his prices came in significantly lower than Boyd's for most of the cabinets. We're going to use him to make the cabinets, and so maybe we're saving, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. We're not saving $30,000-$40,000 by cutting out cabinets completely and going with an IKEA sterilization. But we are also balancing things. What we're doing is we're doing, I don't want to say rear delivery, but we only have a rear console, like a rear table cabinet. So just one in the operatory behind the doctor is one set of cabinets. And it's a table. It doesn't have overhead cabinets. So, and then in my operatory, I'm not getting a sink, and a clinical side unit is what they call it. Noelle is going to get a sink in hers. So, you know, we're just, when you have two docs, it's also, you're trying to balance it. I feel like I'm always trying to cut out things that we really need. A lot of people all over Dental Town are saying, you know, the side and a couple of these Facebook groups, whatever groups that there's out there for the startups, you know, the clinical side unit, the side cabinets are a thing of the past. They're a waste of money is what a lot of people are saying. So we're balancing that.
But,
So,
it's
still a significant cost for us. Sorry, Han, but it's still a significant cost for us, but it's manageable. And by using this, we are getting, he does make, I don't know where he gets it, he has quartz countertops, and he's very competitive pricing. So the countertops are actually going to be stone, and they were quoted much cheaper to us than Corian countertops.
Very good. So you have better quality product for less. So that's a great value added thing. You know, when you, of course, besides being the dentist, all of us are consumers, okay, whether it's for products or services. When you are out shopping and looking for, for a service provider to do the design for you, what is important to you, how did that lead you to us versus, Dental Town, like you say, that the process is everybody usually go to the supplier because they hear the word free, okay? Who doesn't like free? But what was the things that you must have and that you're willing to invest in and how it lead us you to this relationship that we have?
I think that if anybody is going into a startup who has been practicing for some time, you realize how important, if you've been practicing in an office where you were frustrated with the layout, that's what I will say. Because, I mean, it's obvious when you hear, it's interesting you said we're all consumers, right? We're here trying to buy a service or paying for a service. And you're right, when you hear free, it sounds super appealing. But when you know what you're looking for and you're experienced enough to know what is important, things, what matters and what becomes prioritized quickly changes. So if you're working in an office where, for example, the office I'm currently working in, the layout is frustrating. You turn around, you pull open the door is hitting the cabinet. Things were just not spaced out correctly. It wasn't designed with the thought of workflow, how the work would flow, which actually plays a huge role in efficiency. And when you're coming to dentistry, everything is about efficiency. Seconds mean a lot more in dentistry and other professions, I'm sure, than it does in other fields, okay? And you quickly realize that the way the office is laid out is going to actually make your space more efficient or less efficient. It'll help promote workflow, or it can sometimes suffocate it. And working in an office where that was the case, where the design wasn't necessarily helping the workflow, where spaces were tight, and it wasn't because there was a lack of space, it was just because of how things were positioned and spaced out. I knew, and Cyrus, I think, agrees with this, we knew that we wanted a space that was going to work for us. Something Cyrus had pointed out is we were trying to combine a pediatric dental office and an adult that could also service adults. And we're talking about a space that's about 2,200 square feet. So we very quickly realized that our office layout needed to be very well designed and well thought of. And so, I wish this was a visual conversation so I could compare the design we got from Han and what we had received from a vendor. They were just, you really don't even have to know much about dentistry or design. You look at it and you're like, this doesn't really make sense. So I think for us, what we asked ourselves is what was important to us in the design. And I will tell everyone listening to this, the design is super important. It helps making future steps more smooth. Everything runs smoother this way. And when your office is up and running, it's all based on what your layout was. So I think that's the concerns that Cyrus and I had, and we wanted to make sure it was addressed. And we knew that free, quote unquote free, wasn't going to address those concerns. So we sought out a designer who could meet those needs.
And just to put, maybe even give the listeners a little bit of something that worked for us, that really benefited us, was that with the vendor, they say you need to spend $100 per square foot and we'll make you a design. So we're 2,200 square foot, you do the math, that's $220,000 worth of equipment, they'll give you a design. So we said, oh, no way. We can't, that's not our budget for equipment is not even close to that. We didn't even tell them that, but We said we're getting our own design. Well, you know, and I guess this will vary, but they said, no, we would really like to design it for you without an equipment agreement. I said, that's fine. Just know that, you know, we have our own design already. If you want to make one, please feel free. I don't, you know, I will compare the two and we'll pick my favorite one. So, you know, we kind of got two for the price of one that way. And then what I've realized between working with Han and a vendor, and I'm actually very happy with the vendor. We're working with them, and they've been great, and they've actually been part of the reason why this project is where it is right now. So I'm not really, you know, I'm very happy with them. But when you work with someone like Han, I want X, Y, and Z. But Han was going to tell me, you know, realistically, this is what you can have, okay? Yeah. And everything I want, now looking back, drives up the amount of equipment. Because the other design, we were able to get more chairs, a consult room, more stuff, just so much more stuff. But when you look at, you know, I told Han, I want 5 chairs in my hygiene bay. And he didn't just go ahead and give me what I want. He said, I really think you should have 4 here, and this is why. Whereas our other design, you want 5? Here you go, 5. But the space was taken from somewhere else, which was the waiting room. And and when it's a pediatric office combined with adults, you don't want a small waiting room. You don't want everyone sitting on top of each other in there. So, you know, and other reasons why. Another huge thing is when I was looking at the architectural drawings, the way Han has designed this, because we're plumbing nitrous, it is of one pipe that's just a straight line down to the 3 operatories that the nitrous is plumbed. It's super simple. The pipe doesn't need to turn. It doesn't need to go. And, you know, it's just one wall. It's very straightforward. And, you know, these are things that the other design, that pipe would have actually had to make a number of turns, which probably adds a lot of cost. And if something goes wrong, much more complicated to fix, probably.
It does. It does. And both Han and I really do appreciate your praise. And you know what? You guys are now doing what you know, this podcast is being recorded. And so the future folks that are in your position, you know, 2 and 3 years ago, where you were at, will now be listening to what you've just said. So, you know, you are providing effectively the coin phrase, you know, paying it forward for the next generation and the next that's coming forward. So with that, how do our listeners get a chance to continue to check up on you and your journey? What are you guys doing about that, if anything?
So we're marketing very actively on social media. We have an Instagram account. We're almost up with the website. I'm just making the website myself on Squarespace because, you know, this is something that the website would have cost almost as much as the design, you know, not exactly, but in the same range. But the website's really something you can do yourself if you put in the time. The design's not. You know, this isn't, you know, you can't do the design. You can't even start to think of the design.
We definitely do not recommend you design yourself.
Yes, yeah, right. I mean, because I would, like, sit down and, like, you know, it's a box and draw with Noel. Right. We'll put this here. And, like, don't even try. Don't even bother, really, honestly.
Don't,
unless you have a lot of experience. Yeah.
Yes.
But I've kind of dedicated on the website a whole section on the construction. And I'm posting weekly updates, photos there. So if anyone wants to go to the website and follow, it's HampshireMeadowDental.com. It should be it's not up yet. I own everything, the domain, but the website, maybe 10 more days it'll be up. And it will have the design from HJT. It has the blank template, the picture of the outside of the building. Right now we have a photo of the, you know, the trenching. As things happen, we're just going to add photos so you can see the design and you can kind of see the office coming to life. And I thought for any prospective patient, it might be very interesting for them to see this growth. And anyone who comes across our marketing now might, you know, actually kind of be interested in the story of this office being built. So I think the best way you could get the most information is on our website. I'm going to post every week a couple photos of where we're at. And then the couple other places, we're in a Facebook group called it's called the Making of a Dental Startup. It's a very, very useful group. I've been in it, I think, at least a year, probably more. Unlimited amount of good information. Other people, I posted a video of us in the space, and Noelle showed the photo of, the diagram of the floor plan. Someone else saw it. I had commented how they've had a great experience with Han. People will also recommend other designers. There's a lot. That's a good Facebook group. I know there are some professionals in it. There's another group called the Business of Dentistry. We're posting in those groups a little bit, but not nearly as much as what you would get if you went to the website. And then hopefully we can check back in at some point in time. I'd love to send photos to Han so he can see his design come true.
I would appreciate that. Often we do projects that, once we're done, we go, okay, can you send me pictures when it's done? So at least I see how things turn out. And, we try to stay in touch with our clients just to see their progress, what we've done right, what we can do better. Because often, the accumulative knowledge and experience that we have, others can benefit. Okay, I certainly don't want to, do something that are off base and repeat it until 20, 30 years down the road. So I'm looking forward. I'm excited and looking forward to your progress and seeing how the pieces and part come together. And and definitely would love to have you back on the program. Maybe 6 months after you're opening the practices, just to see, to get additional feedback of things that you felt are right, that you felt could use a little bit more enhancement, and overall your success, your progress. Hopefully, you say yes to that.
We would love to. We're still in business.
You will. Get that out of your vocabulary, okay?
No.
I'm going to make a prediction. Actually, I'm going to predict that you're going to have a 20 or 25% increase in your potential client base because we've seen that historically. You do something new. You guys are doing everything that we put in our systems to, you need to do this, this, and this. You guys have done it all plus. Unless you picked the worst location, and I'm sure Han would have told you that you didn't, and so you didn't pick the worst location, you guys have hit all the bases perfectly. You're going to be a success. You focus on doing great dentistry, and you're going to fill that thing up with both adults and a whole bunch of kids. And what you're going to do is probably 3 years from now, you're going to look at each other and go, how can we kick out our next door neighbor and get this thing bigger?
Was actually part of this. I guess we forgot to mention this in the very beginning, but this is another thing about this location is that it has the adjacent 1,700 square feet. We have the right of first refusal. So, because I had listened to a podcast with Han, and I think it was the one that's on Dental Town, there was a whole section on how dentists always, they regret they can't expand. So for us in this unit, there is potential for expansion, and Han was very involved in this decision on how should we design it? Should we design it this way, including this? Do you think it's even feasible for us to design? Could we start out at 4,000 square feet? And, we made the decision to not do that. But, the potential, as you said, is is there, and we would hopefully love to work with Han and you guys to expand into there one day, hopefully.
We'll be
you
here.
See, if you now, Seuss, I've seen your pictures. Okay, you're a pretty handsome fellow, but now, not taking away the credit from you. You already put the best face of the partnership on video to market this thing. So how is it you're not going to succeed?
Yeah, I know. That's Noelle's job. I can do all the paperwork, all the behind the scenes, hours on the phone, as long as she gets in front of the camera, because that's just how she is with her patients. And that's what has truly made us believe that we're gonna be okay and this is gonna work out for us is how much Noelle's patients and even my patients, but how positive in her 4 years of experience, how positive of feedback she gets from her patients, you know, that's going to come naturally. That already exists. We don't need to, you know, that she doesn't need to do anything besides be herself and provide the care that she's already been providing. And, you know,
I'm on the phone.
No,
Well, we'd love to talk with you in 6 months or so. Definitely, like you say, keep in touch. We're always here. Han's at the ready at any time you need anything. And we're just so thankful you had the time to spend with us and our listeners, because now your knowledge and information is going to help the next group that needs to hear this kind of stuff, so that they don't have to learn the hard way. And, you know, again, thank you so much for being part of the show. And I'll let you have the last word.
She was saying Han.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say thank you. Thank you both for all the help that you've provided us and for having shows and Han being so active on Dental Town. I'm sure other people like me will come across the information. There's so much free information. Han spent so much time in thoughtful responses on Dental Town and in emails. So thank you so much for just being a resource for us, for anyone who's trying to get into something where they haven't been very well educated on it.
I appreciate your trust in us, and I'm glad that you invite us to the table to work with you. I have absolutely no doubt in your success. Okay, so I'm looking forward to reading more about, you know, the great doctors in Massachusetts or the team. And so as the progress, you know, as the project progresses and stuff, you know, I don't know how many times I've expressed that. Feel free, if you have a question, just reach out. Okay, and I'll keep an eye on you, and we'll walk through this journey together. I appreciate you sharing this with others, your friends and colleagues, and hopefully they can glean some information that will help them through their process or through their planning, and make their journey less bumpy. All right. With that, again, appreciate your time, and we'll talk to get to you both again soon. Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
You have a good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good
night. Han, for our listeners, we have, I believe, Mike Montgomery from Live Oak Bank is coming up as next week's show. And we're going to have a very interesting topic having to do with construction costs. And historic construction costs as it relates to the now, as in actively what's been happening to construction costs. And it's just going to be an exciting show. So I'd like to welcome everyone and put it on your calendar. And hopefully you get to join us for next Tuesday to talk about that. You can see a little bit of information about Mike if you go to our website and listen to a previous podcast or Google him under Live Oak Bank. They specialize in dentistry financing, and it'll just be a great show. But again, thank you to our listeners, and we look forward to spending some more time with you next week. Juan?
And thank you for tuning in with us. And with that, have a good evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.